Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I put the subject on the board, come and see. I'd like to start with familiar scripture in Matthew 11. The 28th verse says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I don't know about all you all, but it's very important to me. I don't like to be somewhere where I'm not wanted. I don't. It's always been this almost a, I don't know what you call it, pet peeve. I don't know. It's something. That's the wrong term, but there's all something that if I don't figure I'm somewhere I'm not wanted, I'll leave awful fast. You don't have to do much to get me to go. When I was young growing up, it was a family, Claypools was their name, last name, and they lived close to us. And one of them in particular, my sisters could tell you about it, his name Virgil. They're all long gone now. But they was young, and they'd come up to the house, and no matter what we was going on, they'd come uninvited, and they'd stay as long as they wanted to. They would stay at times, and I remember them coming in sometimes, and everybody going to bed, but them still sitting there that time, that kind of thing. My sisters, I wasn't as bad about it. I don't remember ever really doing it. They was kind of friends of mine, but my sisters particularly would get tired of them being around all the time, and they would start trying to offend them. They would purposely say things to them. They would insult them. They would do all kinds of things to them to try to get the point across that you're not welcome here. You should go home. And they would go so much to the point that they would just tell them, "You need to go home," or "Why don't you go home?" And they would just laugh and stay there anyway. I'm not that way. And I'm thankful for this scripture because this is the general invitation to all humanity, to everyone, that you're welcome. The invitation is that you can come to the Lord. The Lord is wide open for us to come. And God is the serving to God is not a spectator sport. In any sense, it is not a spectator sport. You all are spectating, but this isn't a spectating sport, okay? I mean, I may be up here being the preacher, but don't think you ain't got a part in it. If you haven't prayed for this, then, I mean, there is a part for everybody to come and do it. This is not just a spectator. You're to be involved in this, and the invitation is that you can know. You don't have to feel like that I'm somewhere that I'm not supposed to be. The Lord has given you an invitation to wide open to all that heaven offers. You come, and you can be a partaker as much as our Sunday school was about the Apostle Paul. No doubt a great man of the gospel. No doubt an inspirational figure in the scriptures. But he's no better than you are. God has a place for everyone, and the invitation is out there. To come unto me, all ye that labor and every living, everybody that's got a need in there. It doesn't come to a time to where you have a need and he's going to tell you you need to go home. No, you're invited to come into this. And so I want us to know today that God has made a provision for us that the only way we don't get it is if we don't make the effort to get it. It's wide open. We can have everything that God wanted us and intends to us to have, every longing of the heart, every soul's need, I say every emotional need, every spiritual need, every need that we can have in life. He died for that, and he's inviting us to come, and he can make us whole. Over in John, first chapter of John, 43rd verse says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Okay, here is a testimony of Philip, who had been called of the Lord to follow him. He was convinced that this was the Christ, the Messiah. This was the one that had been promised. You have to realize that there was a 400-year-old promise. It went back to the prophets, but there was a long time prophecy that there was going to be a Messiah come, and there had been. This is something you have to understand about this passage of Scripture, that Jesus wasn't the first one to make the claim. You can read in the historical accounts of this time, and there was a lot of people, obviously there would be, they knew that there was one coming, so there's always fraudsters. And so there was many fraudsters that came in and said, "I am he. Follow me." Well, Nathanael is given this testimony that we found him. And Nathanael was a righteous person. He was somebody that was looking for it. But you know, he didn't believe it. I mean, he didn't just say, "Great." He was very skeptical. You know, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical. As a matter of fact, it can be very healthy to be skeptical. And you don't have to worry about God's inability to prove to you what he wants to prove to you. If you're an honest heart, God can prove to you. Nathanael was skeptical, and Philip comes along and says, "Nathanael, we found him. We know him." This is his response. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him," this is the answer. This is the answer. How am I going to sit here? How am I going to convince Nathanael? How can I convince Nathanael? You ever have somebody tell you something that you really doubted? They're telling you something and you say, you may not say to them, you may not be rude, or you may not be that kind of a thing, but they're telling you something and you're sitting there saying, "That doesn't make sense to me. I really don't believe that." That's where Nathanael's at in this. He wasn't being rude about it or nothing. He just is, I just doubt that. Well, and Philip understands the doubt that people are going to have. There's been a lot of fraudsters out there. And you can claim that you saw a miracle. You can claim that you saw a Sasquatch back on Mountain Road. Well, you might have seen something, and you might believe it yourself. But it's really hard to convince somebody else of that. But there is one thing that is the answer to it. And the answer to it was that Philip says to Nathanael, "Come and see." You can take away all this. I'm going to tell you. We can speak of our experiences. I've got experiences that are very important to me, and you have experiences that are important to you. I have experiences to where that God did something for me. In the times of my need, I just tell you, you've heard them over and over, but this is my experience, And I tell it, and I'm not saying that you don't believe it. But there needs to be more than just hearing it from somebody. I mean, I know at the time that I was desperate looking up to the Lord, and how the Lord opened the windows of heaven. God did something special that only God could do, and gave me a grace and power that I did not have at the moment. I was ready to crumble. I wasn't giving up on the Lord, but I told the Lord, I don't know what to do. I emotionally could not handle anymore. I physically just couldn't handle anymore. I was at the wit's end. I felt like I was going to crumble. I felt like, I mean, we're human. We got our breaking points. I feel like that a breakdown was right there to happen. And God done something. I don't know. He done something. And he poured out a grace on me and gave me a power and grace and understanding that I never had. And I can tell you that. But I can say more than that of anything that you don't understand. There's an invitation to you. Come and see. Come and see if the faithful God that was faithful to Peter and Paul and to Philip and to all of those that trusted in him, and the invitation that was to them is to you, and that same, come and see if that same faithful God won't be faithful in your life too. The idea is that, you know, that there is something that is necessary about our testimonies. But I'm convinced that the testimonies that we speak out loud are just as much for us as it is for anybody that could hear it. It is an enriching, it is a strengthening of our own belief to speak it, to say it. This is what I believe, and I speak it out. And of course, it's to those that hear it. But you know what it is? The testimony is to stir them to come and see for themselves. My testimony isn't enough for my children. My testimony only is there to say to the children, find that God real in your life too. Find a place so that I can testify to you to many times where God divinely healed my family. I'm not talking about a long process of getting over something through the way God made us. I'm talking about a divine touch. Doubt that or not doubt it, but I'll tell you what I would say about it. Come see if the Lord is not faithful to that. There has been times where I have been discouraged, and the Lord send just the thing to encourage me. Faithfully encourage me. Sister Billie Jean made a statement earlier about, she said, the Lord gives her a song every day. I'm going to tell you, there's been times that the Lord, I can think of songs, I can read songs, I can do songs. She's saying something different because I've been in the place to where I needed something and the Lord gave me a song. I'm going to tell you, it's different when the Lord gives you a song. When the Lord gives you a song, it's Him speaking to you, helping you with that. God has given a song. Nathaniel, you're doubting the testimony that I'm testifying to you about what God is. Here is Jesus, and I'm testifying to you about it, and we're friends, and there's no reason for you not to believe it. But listen, I'm not going to get offended by that. I'm going to tell you what to do. Nathaniel, come see. Come experience God for yourself, because, see, all of our testimonies that we testify to encourage, inspire, and do that, it's all pointed to one thing, and that's for you to have an experience where you see it for yourself, where you can come to the Lord, and the Lord, yeah, the Lord blessed Brother Salmons. I can tell you so many testimonies from Brother Salmons. Now, a lot of us here could. I can tell you many, many testimonies from Brother Jim White. I can tell you testimonies of the faithful saints. And that's good. And all that inspired me to say, I want God that real, that He'll get in the car and ride with me. I want that real till God will give me the grace to do what I need to do. I want to experience what their testimony was. I want to experience that. Come see. So Nathaniel Aeneas is very doubtful. He was very skeptical. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathaniel, come to see. Watch the very personal line that this takes. There's someone that knows you better than you know you. There's one that knows you better than anybody in this room knows you. There's one that will prove to you in just a little bit that he's God. And Jesus, and here comes Nathanael with a pocket full of skepticism. And he's going to come and see this. And Jesus says to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? I would really like to know more about this. There's so much that you don't know. I really like to know how he, the words don't give the facial expressions and the meanings like body language does. And I wonder if Nathanael said, How do you know me? Or if he said, Yeah, how do you know me? I wonder how that was really done in the sense of what Nathanael come to. Like, that's funny. I'm doing this with skepticism, or if the realization of he's come in the power of Jesus' words, Behold, an Israelite indeed. What's this? Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I'm waiting on you, Nathanael. I'm waiting on you. We've had our relationship. You don't know. I'm waiting on you to come and see. If you'll come and see, you won't be disappointed. I think one of the things that hinders people a lot in the walk with the Lord, that they look at it as a religious thing, they look at it as a function of the church, or they do it as a human thing, but they don't do it as a relationship thing with God. They don't do it as I'm connecting with Christ. This is what it's all about. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. The change of our life is in Jesus Christ. The victory that we have in life is the connection we have with Christ. The whole idea of it is that Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. They're going to have to keep a connection. You can bear fruit. You can bear fruit. Come and see what fruit that you can bear. You know how many people have said, as Moses said when he was called to go down to Egypt, I can't do that. I don't have no ability to speak. Lord, I can't do what you're calling me to do. And the Lord says, That's right. And that's why I called you. Come see what I can do with you. Now, this isn't about me, but it's my testimony, so I want to express my testimony. I've been full-time since 95. This past November, Thanksgiving, just did roll over. I quit work at Allegheny Land Surveying the week before Thanksgiving in 95. That's 27 years. 27 years, I've been doing something that I'm so unlikely to do. I am terribly not able to do it. It's not something I should be doing, but I want to tell you, God done something. God called it and gave it something that was beyond me, and I still marvel at the work of God when I'm sitting with nothing and I've got a duty or a place there, or I say there needs to be something here, and the Lord just do something supernatural to give me something. I didn't say this to you, that God can give you something supernaturally to say when you need to say something. But you need to come and see. You need to come and see that. You need to be in a place and say, Lord, I don't know what to say with this. What do you do? You know, at the times that I went to the altar, does anybody here want to take a chance on what you can say at the altar and what situations you'll get in the altar? Are you smart enough and wise enough to go to the altar and deal with people's problems? I don't feel like I'm capable of it at all, but I've been amazed at what comes out of my mouth sometimes. The Lord's got the answer for their problems, and He knows how to deal with it. Come and see, Nathanael, you're right there, but you need to come and see. And see if he doesn't prove to you, to your heart. Isn't that important? I want us to think about it. Isn't it important that we have the witness of God in our own heart? Not just the testimony of the faithful, but isn't it important when the chips fall and when the things really come down and the bad things happen to you and all that? Isn't it really important to have seen it for yourself? Isn't it important to have had your prayer? I know what the world tries to teach. They're wrong. It isn't about an organization of men. It isn't about a charismatic and dynamic people. That's not what it's about. Well, if I'm a part of these people, they can pray me through anything. That's not what it's about. This is about you knowing the Lord, and you can pray it for yourself. And you know God real for yourself. Jesus answered my prayers today. It didn't seem like hardly it could do it, but we prayed and the Lord changed everything. And you see it as a relationship that builds and builds. Nathaniel coming, he just simply told him. And with confidence, he told him. You got any doubt, Nathaniel? What's the answer? I'll sit here and argue. He did this, all this. And none of that would have ever penetrated enough. It would have been a testimony, but it wouldn't have been enough. Then he says the right words. Nathaniel, come and meet him. I say to you today, come meet Christ. I know you've all met Christ. I'm just saying, in the problems, in the difficulty, in the places of your life, indeed, come meet Christ with it. Let him be the reality of your life. Allow him space enough to say something, to talk, to speak. Here comes Nathaniel. You know, In my mind, I visualize a lot of things. In my mind, Philip's standing there, and the other disciples are there, and here comes, you know, there's a crowd around, and here comes Nathaniel walking down the road, and Jesus looks at him, and he says, "Here's Israelite indeed." Well, how do you know? And everybody's everybody else around is probably completely out of the conversation. This was connected, the Lord and Nathaniel. I don't think Philip even knew. He said, come and see the Lord, but he didn't know what Jesus was talking about. Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree, and everybody's saying, did we pass that fig tree yesterday? Or you know how they was about the water at the well, so you know they were sitting and thinking, when was we by that fig tree? Where did he see that? I don't remember even seeing him there, Nathaniel. They was doing all that stuff. But the connection between Christ and Nathaniel, they both knew what they was talking about. Nathaniel knew exactly what the Lord meant when he said that, to the point that, I mean, you think about a moment before he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come on, this can't be anything out of Nazareth. Is any good thing come out of Nazareth? Until he's there saying, my Lord. Come and see. He'll prove it. He'll prove who he is. You know, say, well, it seems like a lot of the world says, well, this is all a fairy tale and you have no proof of it and all of that. Do you know what the proof was meant to be and will always be? You'll never be able to prove it by tangible things. And you'll never be able to prove it to somebody that don't want it proved. The proof to me that Jesus is alive, that he lives in me, and he speaks to me, and he's answered my prayers, and he becomes a reality in my life. And the only way we can get that to people is to get them through our testimony, our life. Do you know what the most powerful testimony that a person can have is? It's not by saying what my uncle told my nephew to tell my brother's sister's, you know, husband. It is when it goes too far, it's not very valuable. It's when you can say it out of your own passion and out of your own heart. When Paul was able to say, over and over, why have you went from what you were to what you are now. Why did you change like that? Paul would say, it seems ridiculous. Much learning has made thee mad, Paul. And Paul said, oh, no, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I mean, mad as in crazy. I'm not delusional. I was on the road to Damascus. I came and seen. I saw Christ. I have a testimony and witness of my own heart, my own life. You cannot take it away. Do you remember when they tried to tell the blind man to say that Jesus, give God the credit, and we know this man's a sinner, and do you remember what he said? I don't know about that. But I know that I was blind, and now I see. Trying to take it from him. Trying to take the experience from him. It'll never be taken from him. You can say he was a fraud. He could really see. Well, that might work for everybody you tell, but it wouldn't work for the blind man. You'll never take that from the blind man. And the analogy is that I was blind. I was blinded by sin. I was blinded by things. And the Lord came, and I can see now. You can't take it from me. You can never take the moment that I looked up into towards heaven and said, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. You never take away what God did for me. At that moment, you can never take it away. All the gainsaying and doubting cannot pierce that moment. God done something for me that you can't take away. Do you know that there was, when they went to replace Judas, of course, had died, and they wanted to replace, and there was a need to replace the apostle. You remember they casted lots, but do you remember what they said of the men that they chose? They got two that was full of the Holy Ghost, I think it was. Two men that was qualified. And one of the qualifications was is that they had to have been with the Lord from the beginning. Why? Why? Because their testimony isn't any good. Their testimony isn't any good to say that Peter said that John saw. No, they had to be there, and then when they testified that the Lord turned water into wine, and somebody said, that's a foolish old fable, they could say, I was there, brother. I tasted it too. I experienced that when they said, oh, he didn't heal that lame man. That's a fairy tale. And the guy was saying, I was standing 10 feet off to the left when that man got up. My mother knew their family all their life. You got a testimony of something. You say, come and see that the Lord has some. That's the powerful testimony that we can give to when we've seen it ourselves. But it isn't enough. It is not enough. It's enough to start. It's the testimony that draws, that gets a longing. But I'm going to tell you the testimony that we are seeking for is to come and see. Come and see this one. Have the experience for yourself with this, and it will make a huge difference, because to be honest with you, the devil can rob your testimony from me, but he has a hard time taking mine. What you said you've seen is one thing. You can come and tell me, said, Marty, I've seen the biggest buck ever. That it had to be a world record, and I'm going to doubt you unless I see it. When I see it, I say, you might be right. That's the biggest thing I ever see. There's a testimony that belongs to us. Come and see. You're invited. You're invited to experience Jesus Christ as a reality for your life. You may not convince the whole world of it, but they won't convince you away from it when you really have it. Another scripture I want to look at. I think it's in... Isn't John, oh yeah, John 4. Time's getting kind of away, so I'm going to just go through this. But this is the story of, oh, I see, where does it pick it up? John 4, I'm looking for the woman at the well. Yeah, that's about 20. The woman at the well. Remember the woman, the Samaritan woman. And the Lord went by to see the Samaritan woman. And he began to talk with her. And said something about her husband. And the Lord told her, I think he told her a lot more than is explained here about what she went and said, but the Lord said, yeah, you had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband, and he told that, and she's standing there marveling, and God is building a testimony in her life. She's one-on-one with Christ, and he's building something of confidence with her and the words that he's saying and building a confidence with her. And he starts to say, and I think he said much more than that particular place. And she goes, and I'll pick it up in the 27th verse. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Again, the power of that personal testimony. There must have been something there. I am sure that there was a many of them went in there with a very serious doubt. I'm almost positive in a crowd like that there was a testimony. She come running without her pots that she took. It was something she was excited about, and he was telling me these things, and they were saying, well, what a testimony, and let's go see. And then when he says something to me like, saw you under the fig tree. Yeah, you remember that time when you was 12 years old and you was devastated and you was down crying? There wasn't nobody there but me. Lord, who are you? Come see the one that told me everything, one of the prophecies of the Lord. Coming, that the Messiah would come, he'd be able to tell you all things. And she went and said, he knows things that he can't know. There's something about this. He penetrated the deep places of my heart. Yes. And come see, and he'll do it for you too. Come see, and he can go to the very deepest places, to where the disturbances, the things. Listen, folks, we're all damaged goods. If anybody in here can claim that you're not damaged goods, I'd like to hear your story. We're all damaged goods. We got things that need repaired. The only way we can be made whole is be made whole through this one that come to do it. And he says, come and see. Lord, what do I need? What's my situation? How do I do this? Come and see. My message today is, and I know I'm talking to saved people, but I know it's important for us even in this. Come. It's wide open. Come see. Come see. You've heard it from the old ones. Come see if it's not real. I didn't do it just for them. I do it because of who I am. Come see that you won't have the same blessings that they have. You'll have the same power. Where'd you say, I can't speak with the Lord knows all those things. And the Lord knows how to accomplish all of those things too. You remember the story. There was a woman, she was called the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba. Her name wasn't Sheba, she was from Sheba. She was the Queen of Sheba. She was come from the South, and she come to see. Because she said, I have heard of the greatness of Solomon and of his God. And she said, I'm going to go. There's only one way to prove this, because there's all kinds of things, but there's enough witnessing going on to say there's something special there. And she made a great trip from the South to go up to do what? To see. And when she got there and she saw the wonders and she saw, it's not written in the scriptures altogether, but it's assumed because Solomon had this great moment of worship, and they would sound the trumpets and all, and they'd make their great ascent up to the temple that was made, and they'd go up there, and there was a great awe over everything because God was there in the temple, and they made it out to be so sacred. And she gets to see that, and she heard his wisdom and all that, and she saw it for herself, and she went away saying, the half has never been told. I heard of this. I heard about it. She She very well could have went with the idea, maybe I'll be disappointed. Maybe it's not what it's supposed to be. But she went, and the half has not been told. I'm going to tell you, I cannot tell you the half of it. There is no way for me to tell you the half of it, because God is too much. Jesus is too widespread. He can talk to you about things that I... See, the thing about it is, there's things that's important to me, and it's not important to you. And there's things that's important to you that I might say, why do they care about such a thing that's not important? If it's important to you, it's important to Him. If it's important to you, He knows how to deal with you about it. So the message is come and see. The men, all these people down there, they come, and a great bunch of people was coming up to see, is this really the one? And I'm going to tell you, when they got there, they found out something. He was the one. He's the one. And if we'll give ourselves to Him, we'll find out that He's the one too. The invitation is there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You pray for me, I want to be faithful.